Shanila, he heard Rupa. Unto Sri Rupa Goswami, Kripa Kare, showing his causeless mercy. Taha Saba, all those Sancharila infuse Sri Rupa Hridaye in the heart of Srila Rupa Goswami. Prabhu, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shakti Sancharila, infuse spiritual strength. Sarvatattva, all conclusive truth. Nirupane, in ascertaining. Pravina Kalila, made him fully experienced. Translations. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Rupa Goswami all the conclusions he had heard from Ramananda Roy and duly empowered him so that he could understand them. By entering the heart of Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered him to ascertain properly the conclusions of all truths. He made him an experienced devotee whose decisions correctly agreed with the verdicts of the disciplic succession. Thus, Sri Rupa Goswami was personally empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's a very brief purport here to this second verse. Let us just read that. Srila Prabhupada says, the principles of devotional service are only apparently under the jurisdiction of material activity. To be rightly guided, one must be personally guided by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was the case with Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and other acharyas. Sorry? Chapter 19, Majjalila, 19, verses 116 and 117. That was the purport of 117. Om Gyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpa Turibhyas Chakripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this morning we are addressing a particular theme which has come up in the context of our Guru Seminar or Leadership Seminar. So that is the theme of empowering. There is a lot of talk. It is sort of like a buzzword, you could say, or even practically a cliche, perhaps. This term, empowering, we must empower people, and so on. So let me just read the specific mandate that I have here. So the heading is Empowering Disciples. Is the modern notion of empowerment relevant to Krishna consciousness, specifically in connection with how the ISKCON guru treats his disciples? Can all disciples be, quote-unquote, independently thoughtful? How do we resolve the tension between respect for authority and self-autonomy? What lessons can we learn from Lord Chaitanya's dealings with his followers? Which practices are empowering and what are disenabling? This is the theme. And for some of us, I don't know, but perhaps some of us may not really really understand precisely what is being got at by the use of this term empowering. You know, as I said, it is a bit of a buzzword amongst the material management gurus and all that sort of person. But really, what do they mean by that? And then what would that, how could that manifest in Krishna consciousness, or could it, or like this? So what I thought I would do to begin is just, it will take 1 minute or perhaps two, is read a type of definition of empowerment given by such a management guru. It's interesting to some degree. And then let us have a look at it in the context of Krishna consciousness. So, empowerment means having the power to make decisions, being allowed to make decisions. Not just you make a decision and then someone higher up just cancels it, but you actually, you can make decisions. This is an element in empowerment, giving the people that capacity. Having access to the knowledge and resources which will help make those decisions. Having a range of options to choose from in making those decisions, not just yes, no. Then empowerment also means the ability to exercise assertiveness in collective decision making. Interesting idea. The ability to learn skills for improving one's situation. The opportunity, ability, capacity, the encouragement like that to learn skills and develop one's life. The opportunity and facility to change others' perceptions by democratic means. Okay. Then, empowerment means to allow people to be involved in the process of growth and allow people to improve themselves and overcome stigmas about themselves. Anyway, these are some thoughts on the subject. Some of them you can see, you know, they certainly have some relevance in Krishna consciousness. But this is the type of idea, empowerment in Krishna consciousness. And as we read in the little sort of the mandate that I have, the question was raised, how do we resolve the tension between respect for authority and self-autonomy? In other words, is guru, disciple, is the relationship in one, is it simply one in which the guru is just dictating, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, and the role of the disciple is just to react? Or should it really, can it be more sophisticated than that even? Can there be room for other methods of interaction and other ways to engage the disciples in Krishna conscious activity which may help them dynamically in their Krishna consciousness? to develop as persons in Krishna consciousness, and in this way facilitate the development of the Krishna consciousness movement. So this is like the question really here. Should we all just be kind of transcendental yes men to the right people, you know, who'll give us the transcendental right direction? Or should there be a more, you know, like interactive type of relationship, and should there be opportunities for the disciples to be, Prabhupada used the term, independently thoughtful? So, you know, by just mentioning that Prabhupada said Brahmins are independently thoughtful, it gives some type of perspective of how Srila Prabhupada saw the subject. Of course, for the disciple to be obedient and to be willing and able to accept the discipline and direction of the spiritual master, that has to be there. Otherwise, what is the question of disciple? It is just a matter of negotiation to try to, you know, get the best deal possible or something like that. But still, we see, for example, in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in order to stimulate Maharaj Parikshit to really think in Krishna consciousness and not just say yes and no, but to really apply what he has heard and bring it to fruition more and to the level of realization and practical experience, Shukadev Goswami, right at the beginning of the sixth canto, he brings up a, you know, it's like a somewhat tricky transcendental point. And he actually makes the wrong point. He's trying to stimulate Maharaj Parikshit to think. So he deliberately does like that. Right at the end of the fifth canto, there's been a very graphic, very vivid and dramatic description of the hellish planets. And it's made very clear that basically everybody is headed in that direction. It may not be in the next lifetime, but they're heading in that direction sooner or later. It's not really a question of if, it's really just a question of when. No matter how nice they are now, or whatever they are now, but if they don't become devotees, then it's going to come to that. And Maharaj Parikshit, having heard that, he's an extremely advanced devotee, so naturally he felt very concerned that what can we do to help people? Is there something we can do? We must do something. So Shukadev Goswami said, well, yeah, okay. What we can do then is we can teach them Prayaschitta, atonement. How? If you've done certain bad activities for which you'll end up in those hellish planets, you can adopt some program of material pious activities, offset the negative, you know, like if your bank account somehow or other you've overspent and now you've got an overdraft. So you put in some more money and then it comes up to a zero balance like that. So this is the basic idea that Shukadev Goswami presented to Maharaj Parikshit. And he didn't tell him that, look, you know, tell me what's wrong with this idea. He presented it like, you know, here you go. But actually he was testing him to see if he was going to say, yes, sir, okay, we will do atonement then. Like Prabhupada, one time there's a story I've heard of a morning walk. Prabhupada's walking in some affluent area, suburban area in America, big houses and motor cars and so on. Prabhupada points to a big house and says, "See that house? We can use it in Krishna's service." The devotees say, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada." Then some big motor car. "See this motor car? We can use it in Krishna's service." "Yes, Srila Prabhupada." Then out from one of the big houses came a big dog barking at the devotees. Prabhupada said, "See that dog? We can use it in Krishna's service." The devotee said, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada." And Srila Prabhupada said, "No, we will not use the dog in Krishna's service." Although it is interesting, Srila Rupa Goswami does say that in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna has two dogs. The names I forget, but Rupa Goswami definitely says that. But anyway, so the sense of empowerment. We've read these two verses here about how Lord Chaitanya empowered Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami and the other six Goswamis also. He empowered them. "You go to Vrindavan and you expand the literatures of bhakti. You clarify the science of bhakti. And you uncover the holy places," and so on like this. So Lord Chaitanya, the specific word is used here. Empower. Shakti. Sancharila. That term is used. The word Sancharila appears in both those verses. Infusing or empowering. Now obviously there's also a sense beyond just like the sense which is there in terms of material management. You know, just encourage them, give them a chance, have a go, try doing this, see how you do. And in that way encouraging them to feel, "Oh yeah, okay, let me have a try then." That's a type of empowerment, and maybe giving them a little training, could do it in this way or that, and then maybe they can do something. So, in Krishna consciousness, we see in the case of Srila Prabhupada, he did encourage devotees, "Try, do it." Yesterday in our discussion in the Guru Seminar, one of the devotees mentioned one incident with Srila Prabhupada in which one of his disciples suggested to him, "You know, maybe we could do something." And Prabhupada just turned around and said, "Do it." So, give him a chance. Give him an opportunity. Don't just grill him. You know, "Are you sure you can do it? Are you really sure? Are you sure, you sure, you sure? Am I, you know, what are we going to have to do to, you know, to support you?" But just do it. Try. Have a go. So Prabhupada did that. We know in the early days he sent devotees out to open temples here and there, and they were no more advanced than some of our bhaktas today who are in the bhakta program, or, you know, at least say someone who's first initiated and who's really very much junior to many of the devotees who are around these days. But Prabhupada encouraged them to do that. So that type of encouragement and some facilitation, which is also there in material empowerment, that can also, there's a place for that there in Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada applied that. But here again in this example, in these verses we're reading here, there is another very special element in that empowerment. It is not just patting a person on the back and making them get over some feelings of inferiority or, you know, what some other reason they might want to hold back, and then facilitating them a bit. But due to the transcendental nature of Krishna consciousness and the transcendental channel of empowerment, of spiritual potency, which is there in Krishna consciousness, Sri Sri Gonatai, Sri Sri Radharasa Bihari, Sri Sri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Kijai. So this is another element which takes the whole subject onto a higher level and which gives a much greater dimension for that empowerment to be successful. That actually if a person really tries to do something, even something they might not normally think of doing or think they could do, but if they accept that, and if they are empowered, encouraged and empowered nicely, but then if they really take shelter and try to do that, then, well, as is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, if someone gets the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, a blind man can see the stars in the sky, a lame man can climb mountains, a child can understand the conclusive truths of the Vedic literatures. But without that empowerment, which is actual power, spiritual power, without that empowerment, if someone pretentiously tries to do something in Krishna consciousness in the wrong spirit, not being actually empowered, then the point is made. Then in such a situation, even someone who may apparently be a big expert in the field may end up failing because they're acting in some, like, a materially independent mood that, yes, I'm very qualified, I can do this. Of course, I think we all know, we should all know the story of Keshav Kashmiri, who was very highly educated, intellectual, but not so much of a devotee, really. And he met Lord Chaitanya, and he tried to show off his learning. And Lord Chaitanya pointed out to him that your so-called erudition, there are many holes in it. Lord Chaitanya asked him, is it okay if I point out some of the faults in one of the verses? And Keshav Kashmiri said, what do you mean, one of the faults, some of the faults in one of the verses? There are no faults. And Lord Chaitanya then, of course, pointed out, you have referred to Lord Shiva as Bhavani Bhartu, the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva. So, you know, it could be taken that Durga has two husbands. And various other things. Lord Chaitanya actually gave a very intricate explanation of the faults in that one verse, and then, not wanting to, I guess, disempower Keshav Kashmiri or just disappoint him too much, he left it at the one verse. Although he said, you know, actually the same principle applies to all the verses you've spoken. And Keshav Kashmiri became overwhelmed. Yes, so Srila Prabhupada would empower devotees in the sense of encouraging them, do it, try to do it, and then facilitating them to some degree, and then seeing what they did, not just sitting on their heads and at every step saying, you know, no, don't do it this way, do it that way. Then next step, no, you're making a mistake. But just letting them try, and then seeing how things develop on the basis of their Krishna consciousness. For example, there's a very famous incident, perhaps most famous, when Srila Prabhupada wanted the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita completed in a few weeks. And Radha Vallabha, the production manager, he said, well, 17 books. We are currently doing one book every 2 months. We will do one book a month. We will double it. And he thought, yes, just see. what a nice suggestion I'm making. And Prabhupada said, no, you will do all 17 books in 2 months. And Radha Vallabha told me that at first, like his just sort of knee-jerk reaction was, I think Prabhupada doesn't understand. And then he said, but Prabhupada, that's impossible. And Prabhupada, of course, said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So now Radha Vallabha could have replied, well, Prabhupada, I'm a fool, and tried to sort of negotiate further. But he didn't. He just accepted that, and they accepted that. And, you know, I think we've all heard the story. It really was a big thing. They had to surrender more than they'd thought that they might ever possibly be asked to surrender, into sort of regions of surrender and dedication they certainly had not really expected to be asked to enter. But they did it, and it was done. And when the last book was presented to Prabhupada, 2 months and 1 day after Prabhupada gave that direction, Prabhupada said, you're 1 day late. So this is empowerment. Prabhupada didn't sit on their heads, come on, come on, come on, do this, don't do that. He let them run with it. Obviously, he had some confidence. He knew they had some experience, some qualification, not just like walking up to some unknown devotee and giving him some major responsibility out of the blue. But still, there's no doubt, it was an extremely severe challenge, serious challenge. But Prabhupada was empowering them like that, in the sense of encouragement and so on. But then he was also giving that transcendental shakti, that transcendental potency, which is the real power. That is the real power of empowerment in Krishna consciousness. So, gurus, authorities, you know, almost so many people in Krishna consciousness are authorities over at least one person. So, you know, it applies very broadly. But definitely, we should help the devotees, give the devotees opportunities to develop in devotional service and do more and take more responsibility. But then we must also be able to help them get that actual power, the transcendental potency, and not just, you know, shout orders out and then sit back and wait to see what happens. So Lord Chaitanya, he really empowered them, Rupa and Sanatan, and they went to Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya came later to see, among other things, to see how it's going. But basically, he let them do their service. And it was a very amazing experience for them. And they achieved so much. A little later on in Chaitanya Charitamrita, There's a very nice incident in the first chapter of the Anchalila where Rupa Goswami goes to spend time with Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri, and Lord Chaitanya just comes upon a verse which Rupa Goswami has written, actually from one of the dramas, Lalita Madhava or Vidagdha Madhava. So Lord Chaitanya found this verse, and he was so struck by this verse. Wow, yeah, this is amazing. The verse was explaining the heart of Lord Chaitanya in his mood of separation from Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya was wondering, how did you understand my heart? How could you understand me? Nobody else has understood. Then I think the next day or very, very soon after, Lord Chaitanya brought Ramananda Roy, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Swarup Damodar Goswami, you know, his very, very intimate associates, right-hand men. He brought them to where Rupa Goswami was staying with Haridas Thakur. And he told Rupa Goswami, you recite that verse. Let them hear it. So Rupa Goswami recited that verse. They were all very deeply impressed. And Lord Chaitanya wanted Ramananda Roy to examine, because this was a verse from a drama. Ramananda Roy is a big expert on drama. So he wanted him to examine the drama or dramas of Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami had to recite different excerpts and verses from Lalita Madhava and Vidagdha Madhava. And Ramananda Roy, it's quite lengthy passage there for many pages where Ramananda Roy is saying, well, how have you done this in the drama? How have you done that? How do the actors enter? And how have you glorified your Ishtadeva, your personal deity? So many, many questions. And Rupa Goswami is responding by quoting the particular verses. And Ramananda Roy is just astonished, so impressed, to put it mildly. At the end, he says, these are not plays. These are not plays. These are like wells of nectar, just full of nectar. These are the embodiments of all transcendental realizations in the form of dramas. This is what these are. They're not just some plays. Then Ramananda Roy spoke what is actually a very beautiful verse, or very striking way to put it. You know, these plays are so powerful. They will have such an impact on people. They will change people's lives. He said, what is the use of a bowman's arrow or poet's poetry if they penetrate the heart but do not cause the head to spin? What a way to put it. You know, this is big transcendental expert. An apparent mortal wound, but it is not a mortal wound. It looks like it should be, but it is not. This is like material poetry or whatever. Some qualification may be there, but it cannot do like what this will do. This is just going to turn people's lives upside down and kill their material lives and bring them to the transcendental platform like no other literature could do. And so what's the use of any other literature? And then he said to Lord Chaitanya, he said, you know, I can tell you have empowered Rupa Goswami. You have given him your mercy. Otherwise, he could never have come up with this. He couldn't come up with anything like this. It's just like verse after verse. And each one is so rich. Not just in sort of dramatic, the play itself, what is happening, and the emotions, but in the transcendental, the philosophy, the transcendental reality, which is being depicted here for the education and edification of the audience. And Lord Chaitanya admitted, yes, you're right. When I met him in Prayag, which is actually where these verses are from, then I appreciated him so much. So I gave him my blessings. I gave him the power. And he also mentioned, I did the same thing with Sanatan Goswami. So like this, when the devotees are not just empowered in managerial terms, although, you know, it will certainly help in many ways if the devotees are managed nicely and positively. But if devotees are actually connected up transcendentally and empowered in that sense, then things become very dynamic. Then they'll develop as devotees. Then through their endeavors, the movement will develop. Through their contact with other people, those people will develop. Prabhupada says, in the description of Lord Chaitanya passing through the Jarakanda forest and how he met different people and they became devotees and made other devotees and so on, Prabhupada says, this is the parampara system. This is the parampara system. So it is a system ultimately of transcendental empowerment. And here, just to conclude, in the purport, Prabhupada says, to be rightly guided, one must be personally guided by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The verse says, Lord Chaitanya made him an experienced devotee whose decisions correctly agreed with the verdicts of the disciplic succession. This is the manifest form, part of the manifest form of empowerment, that the decisions are like easily, transcendentally correct, and not just speculative decisions. Just like one time, I'll just close by mentioning one little story. Rupa Goswami wrote one poem, it's called Chatupushpanjali, it's a very beautiful poem. And he wanted Sanatan Goswami to check it, edit it, and give suggestions. What should I change it? In the first verse, Rupa Goswami says, Srimati Radharani has long black hair. She ties it in a single plait, which hangs down her back. And when she walks, that plait moves as her body moves. And when the plait moves, it looks like a black snake. And Sanatan Goswami heard this and he thought, wow, black snake. That doesn't sound very nice. And he became a little bewildered because he had so much confidence in Rupa Goswami. How could he say something like that? And so Rupa Goswami read the poem and asked Sanatan Goswami, so what do you think? But Sanatan Goswami didn't really know what to think yet. He said, let me think about it. So he went out and thought about it. And a little anxious, actually. How could he say a thing like that? But he's Rupa Goswami. It must be correct, but how can it be? And a little anxious, looking out over Shamakund, some village girls came. They were playing a ball game on the other side of Shamakund, laughing and jumping and joking and so on. And Sanatan Goswami's thinking and looking at them, and then he noticed one of the girls with her back to him, There's a black snake climbing up her back, going to bite her on the neck. So Srila Sanatana Goswami jumped up and shouted, "Snake, watch out!" And the girls, of course, they're shocked. "Where's the snake?" "On her back!" They all looked at her back and they started laughing. "That's not a snake. That's her hair." And they laughed and laughed. And Sanatana Goswami felt embarrassed. Then they vanished. They didn't just quickly run away or anything. Suddenly they were just not there. And Sanatana Goswami understood that was Srimati Radharani and the gopis. "They have appeared before me just to show me that whatever Rupa Goswami says is right." So then Rupa Goswami came and asked him, "So, please, you must tell me now what you think." And Sanatana Goswami said, "I think it is a very nice poem. Particularly that part about the black snake, I like that very much." So this is the manifest form or the result where there's real empowerment, including that transcendental empowerment, that there'll be wonderful success in Krishna consciousness on all levels. The guru will be pleased and get Krishna's mercy for having good disciples. The disciples will advance. The movement will develop. This is empowerment in Krishna consciousness. And I think we're over time. Well, we are over time. So I think we'll just finish on that point. Srila Prabhupada ki.